Spring arrives in 4 weeks. Ah, springtime. Warmer weather and flowers and filing income taxes. Yeah, that date is even more reliable than the arrival of spring itself. April 15th bears down like a freight train. We do have plenty of time to get off the tracks, obviously, and to get that income tax return filed. And we do have places to turn for help. Programs exist to give assistance in preparing income tax returns. One of the best known is offered by the AARP, which once called itself the American Association of Retired Persons, now goes just by the initials. David Argetzinger is the AARP District Coordinator for Jackson County and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. David, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
Tell us about the program and how long it's existed, the tax preparation program. Seems like there's quite a bit of history here.
It's been 20 or 30 years, I think, at least, since the program first started. And one of the more active states is Oregon, and one of the more active counties is Jackson County. So it's been here a long time.
And so who is eligible for tax help through AARP?
Yeah, let me clarify first, because it's actually run by the AARP Foundation, which is a nonprofit arm of the AARP,
all right,
rather than the semi-commercial side of the AARP.
All right.
And anybody is our target is low and moderate income people of any age and seniors, being people over the age of 55. And there's no cap on their income, but there are certain things we are out of scope for us, some certain complicated tax returns.
Okay, we'll get into which kinds of tax returns. So where do people have to go to find the tax help that's offered by the AARP Foundation?
There's several places. In Oregon, you can dial actually 211. That's a number where you can get all kinds of information on help, and they can tell you where the nearest place is. But there's also an 800 number that is a national number, and that's 888-227-7669. Right.
888-227-7669. We'll get that posted on Facebook once the program is over today.
They can also go online to aarp.org/taxaid.
Yeah, and I noticed that you can enter a zip code or an address and tell the page where you are and say find tax help within 20 miles, within 50 miles, something like that, and it gives you a pretty good idea what's out there.
Right. Some you have to watch carefully, because I did it once and turned up Rogue River as my site. And I live on 9 in the 04 zip code of Medford. So look farther than maybe the first one that comes up.
Ah, okay. Yes, yeah, so go down the list just a little bit. So who are the people then who do the tax preparation, and how are they trained, and how long are they trained?
Yeah, they're all volunteers. The entire organization, except for a few paid people in Washington, D.C., are volunteers. And we have about 58 of them in Jackson County. And every year we have 3 weeks of training, which consists of 9 half-day sessions. And at the end of that, they have to have passed a test on the tax code that the IRS provides us in order to be a certified counselors do taxes. And these people are, a lot of them are senior citizens, but not all of them. For a while, we had even some students from SOU and Rogue Community College that were participating.
You said for a while, but not any longer?
We haven't had any for a couple of years.
So I imagine the training has to be redone every year then, because the tax code itself changes?
That's correct, yeah. The tax, both to kind of refresh people's memory and to show people new nuances in how the program works, and then because of new things in the tax code. So they have to train every year. We have a preliminary training for brand-new volunteers, usually in November, that lasts a couple weeks, maybe 6 half-day sessions.
All right, so it starts in November. I imagine there must be some years when the training gets a little trickier. It seems like last year would have been one of those, because Congress was still making decisions about taxes on January 1st of 2013, as I recall.
That's right, and some of those things are going to have this is the last year for them, and and maybe that's going to happen again. So you don't know for sure when they, when the IRS puts out the training materials, they're not really sure what which one of these provisions is going to be extended and which isn't. Now, next year is going to be a big change year because of the Affordable Care Act, and which is going to, the final place where the Affordable Care Act kind of gets invoked is when you do your taxes next year.
All right, yeah, that would, since it took effect on January 1st of this year, that would figure into preparing the income taxes for next year. I was going to ask you about that. Much more to ask you as well. We'll take a short break and come back and talk more with David R. Getzinger, who is the AARP District Coordinator for Jackson County. We're talking about the tax help program available for low and moderate income people and seniors through the AARP Foundation. You can certainly call in and ask your questions of the process and how you can get involved in it. Let's talk taxes a little more generally as well. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. And by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Back with David to talk about taxes and you on the Jefferson Exchange in a minute 20. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on Jefferson Public Radio's News and Information Service, I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We are talking today about income tax preparation. That's right, April 15th, about 7 weeks away now. And yes, we will have to deal with it. We will have to file our income tax returns by that date, or at least file a request for an extension by then. There are places to turn to for help, including the AARP Foundation Tax Help Program offered around the country. David R. Getzinger is the AARP District Coordinator for Jackson County on the Oregon side of the line. You can join our discussion on the exchange as we talk about the kinds of help that AARP folks can offer. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. David, any idea how many people show up for the tax help in Jackson County every year?
Yeah, last year we did... let me find the right sheet here. We did 3,000 returns.
Mm-hmm. That's not bad. Over how many different sites?
That was over 8 sites in the county.
Mm-hmm. And how often are those sites open?
Varies by site. For example, the Phoenix Library and the Talent Library are only open one day a week. But the Rogue Valley Mall were open 4 days a week in the... Some sites are 2 days a week, the other sites.
All right. And is it a drop-in situation, or is it best to set up an appointment?
Yeah, no. We only do appointments at one site. That's the Medford Senior Center. The rest of the sites are all drop-in. It's a first-come, first-served basis. This time of the year, probably some sites are full when they open their doors. And then as the year... When you get into mid-March, it slows down a little so you don't have to show up a half hour before we open to get in line. The senior center right now is booked up, I think, into about mid-March.
Really? So that certainly would indicate that there's a pretty good level of demand.
Yes. And this year our demand is running so far about 25% ahead of last year. We have a few more counselors, and they're working a lot harder.
Any idea what you can attribute the increase to?
Well, some of it's publicity. The other thing that's happened is that the IRS field office here used to help people with taxes, but this year the field offices nationwide are not doing that because of what they say are funding shortages. So when people go there for help, they send them to us.
Really? So where people could once go to the IRS and get some questions answered, they're coming instead to the folks with the AARP Foundation tax help.
That's right.
Interesting. And this is, has this been happening since the government shut down in October, or is it totally unrelated to that? Do you know?
Well, they blame it on the funding cuts from last year.
The sequester?
The sequester, yeah.
Interesting. So we talked about the training. We talked about the volunteers. We haven't talked about that. Is there any charge whatsoever for people to get this kind of tax help?
No, absolutely none. It's totally free.
And how can the AARP Foundation afford to do that?
Well, the AARP Foundation, of course, they get their funding from donations into the foundation, but their main funding source for this program is IRS. The IRS provides all the training materials. They provide some administration. They send people around to our sites to make sure we're following all the right procedures. And they provide funding to the AARP Foundation for equipment, supplies, and also our volunteers, while they're not paid, they do get mileage going to and from the sites.
And how far do some of them have to travel?
Oh, we have people that come as far away as from Shady Cove into Medford, volunteers.
Right, so 20, 25 miles, not a tremendous commute by any stretch of the imagination. Certainly not by Southern California rules. But it sounds like when you talk about the fact that because of the training materials being provided by IRS and so forth, and the IRS sending people to you now, it sounds like the IRS is outsourcing its tax help.
Well, you know, the number of returns that they did in their office here was always very small anyway. And, you know, besides the AARP tax aid program, they have a separate program nationwide called, ours is tax counseling for the elderly, and let's see, what's the other one called? I can't remember now, but the IRS runs in some states separate program to amass volunteers to do taxes. The IRS also provides, for example, half of the computers we use we get from the IRS on an annual basis. They ship them to us for the year, and then they're all laptops, and we ship them back at the end of the year.
Really? So once the tax season is over, they go back to the IRS?
Yeah, and they supposedly refurbish them and make sure they're all working correctly, and they put the latest programs into them, and then next fall they ship them back.
And so these are the computers, I assume, that the people train on. You mentioned the training starting in November.
Yeah, about half of the computers we have are owned by the AARP, and so we use those for training in November, and then usually by the time we start in January, we have our annual supply from the IRS as well.
We're talking to David R. Getzinger at the AARP. He's the district coordinator for Jackson County about the tax counseling for the elderly. But it's not just for elderly folks either. And it is free. And you can join our discussion on the exchange at 800-838-3760. Anywhere you can hear us. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. By email, jx@jeffnet.org. Given that the Rogue Valley is a place where people do tend to retire, there's a higher percentage of senior population here that's been well established. I may imagine you're a little busier in Jackson County than people might be in other places.
Well, we are a little busier. We do about 8% of the statewide number. And it's kind of a combination because we have a lot of part-time employees in Jackson County. So we have a large number of really low-income people who are eligible for earned income credit who come to us as well as seniors. So it's a kind of a mix. And let's see, 47% of our people last year were 60 and over.
47%. Okay,
right.
So
yeah.
All right. Well, then 53% obviously not
right.
Either, not yet 60 years old. So that's a pretty good mix then. You got a good split between them. So the people who need to understand, there's no income guidelines whatsoever on this, or is there?
Well, there's no in the AARP program, and there's no guidelines. The IRS has 110% of median, or maybe it's the median, I don't know. Anyway, it's in the high 50,000 area. What we do is we'll do we'll do their taxes, but if they have a complicated return and substantial income, we suggest that really they should find some other place to do their taxes. They could do it online or get their own program from TurboTax or go to a paid provider, because to begin with, we don't want to really be competing with the paid providers. We're giving our service to people who can't afford to go to paid providers. And we have a limited number of volunteers, and we can only do so many people a year. So we kind of try to urge people in the higher income brackets not to come to us, except for seniors. Seniors are, well, you know, a lot of seniors have a real problem even organizing. Some seniors have a problem even organizing their all of their stuff, and we help them with that.
All right, so when somebody does come to get the tax help, what are the kinds of things they need to bring along? I mean, what are the essential bits of information they need to have at their fingertips?
Okay, the essential first thing that's essential to get through the door is they have to have either a Social Security card or a Social Security statement. If they're on Social Security, they don't need to dig their card out of wherever they've been keeping it for the last 30 years. But otherwise, if they're not on Social Security, we need to see their card. Otherwise, we need to see their Social Security statement because that's going to be part of their tax return. Then they have to bring all the other papers related to their income, their W-2s, their 1099s, their unemployment form. And then if they're self-employed, we do small businesses under $10,000 as gross income. They need to bring all that information. And if they have enough expenses to itemize, such as lots of medical expenses, interest and taxes on a home they may own, and charitable donations, they, of course, have to bring a summary of those records and picture ID.
Picture ID.
And last year's tax return.
And last year's. Okay, that's a good one.
If you get an organ refund, then it could be taxable this year, and we can't tell that without looking at last year's tax return.
All right. So it's based on last year's return or based on the refund you got from Oregon last year?
Well, the refund that you got from Oregon last year was because you itemized and used your Oregon taxes as part of your itemized that reduced your taxes last year. So then when you get that was what you paid to Oregon. So now when you get a refund from Oregon, that goes back as income, usually goes back as income on your return this year, but there's a couple, depends on how close you are to the standard deduction and or how close, how much itemization you did. If you're really close if you itemized enough, for example, that you had negative taxable income, then your tax refund might not be taxable. It gets complicated.
David R. Getzinger, is there a pretty good mix of people who've been doing their own taxes for a long time and just got tired of doing it or just they're getting a little befuddled by it, and people who haven't really done their taxes at this level before?
That we see?
The mix of the clientele you get. I mean, I'm just trying to figure out if there are a lot of first-timers or a lot of long-timers.
I'd say maybe 75% of the people we see are people that come to us every year, and the other 25% are new, and of those people, about half of them are people that went to maybe paid preparers last year, even though they were low income, and the other half are people who were trying to do taxes for themselves and found out that they made mistakes or they just got too complicated or maybe they just got tired of filling out the forms or, you know, doing it on a program online.
So where does the line get drawn? I mean, in this tax help program offered by the AARP Foundation, I mean, there's a difference between giving assistance and actually doing it. And the way you're describing it, it sounds like the actual preparation is going on in this process.
Yeah, we do the taxes. We do give people, you know, some people come and ask us questions, but we're there to... One reasons why the IRS pushed this program was because we were the pioneers, you might say, in doing electronic filing. And the IRS, the more electronic filing they get, the less people they have to shuffle paper in these centers where you mail your tax returns if you do it manually. And so...
And a lot of the returns in this part of the country end up at a place in Utah, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah, and so so e-filing versus paper filing. I was going to ask about that anyway. So so the AARP program does generally counsel people to do the e-filing where possible.
Yeah, you have to have a good reason not to do electronic filing. Otherwise, if we do your taxes, we're going to file them electronically.
All right. And what would be some of the reasons that you would not want to do the electronic filing? Are there some that are just? I mean, what are the reasons?
Well, about the main reason when we do a paper return is because there's an absent spouse that's in another state, maybe, and that they have to sign the return, and there's not enough time for them to sign it and get it back to us to see that they've signed it. So that's probably the main reason. And the other reason is occasionally we'll try to do an electronic file for somebody, and it gets rejected because someone they're claiming as a dependent has already been claimed by someone else as a dependent. And so two people can't claim the same person. There's an argument, so they do a paper return, and the IRS sorts it out.
So the computer just kind of spits it back and says, we've already hit the Social Security number on a different return?
That's right.
Wow. I didn't realize it was that comprehensive. David R. Getzinger is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's the AARP District Coordinator for Jackson County, and we're talking about the tax counseling program provided by the AARP Foundation across the country, and more specifically as it is done in Jackson County. And you can join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 or 541-552-6782 or by email jx@jeffnet.org. So, David, what are some of the common issues that you run into? What are the most often asked questions or the most common bedeviling issues that arise with the income tax filing?
Our biggest problem with tax filing are students. The tax code gives a really nice refund to people who are working on the first 4 years of their degree. And the problem we have is that the schools give the person a form called a 1098-T that's supposed to show the tuition they paid and the scholarships they got. And what happens is, for some reason, the schools were able to lobby IRS to allow them to show the amount of tuition billed and the amount of scholarship and grants granted but not necessarily cashed in. And so they give them this piece of paper. The student thinks that's, oh, well, that's all they need to do their filing, but it's worthless because it doesn't really show the actual amount of money that the student might have paid either out of pocket or with a loan for tuition fees and books, which is the only part of their college expenses that are tax deductible or are eligible for a tax refund. And so they have to go and find their student accounts. And unfortunately, both Southern Oregon University and RCC don't do a very good job of explaining that to the students. And so they come to us, and then they don't understand why they have to go get this stuff. That's the biggest problem we have. The other problem are people that have missing things, especially missing forms, like maybe they got a little retirement pay and they haven't got their 1099-R yet, or they've misplaced it.
Now, when you talk about the student accounts, that makes me wonder if with these computers provided by the IRS, if the folks who are providing the tax help, do they have online access? I mean, could they potentially access some of these things like the student accounts online, if it would certainly help speed up the process, or is that even allowed?
Well, all of our sites are connected to the Internet except the one at the mall, which is our largest site. Next year, it'll probably be connected to the Internet. But the problem is that our sites were connected to the sites that are connected to the Internet are actually doing the taxes on a server in Georgia that's run by a company or by TaxWise is the program we use, so it's run by the people who operate TaxWise in Georgia. And so then if we were going to have the student use our computer to go on the Internet, we'd have to, they'd have to do second connection through the same computer and get into their account. Occasionally we allow that, but it's slows down the whole process. We want them to come to us with the information ahead of time. We do have screeners at the that they check in with that try to find these things, but it doesn't always work.
Okay, got it. So that we know that you have to certainly have a lot of information at your fingertips when you walk in the door. Much more to talk about with David R. Getzinger about the tax preparation program provided by the AARP Foundation. He's the district coordinator for Jackson County. And we'll resume our discussion about the tax help offered. And you can call in with questions or comments. Back on the Jefferson Exchange in a minute 15. Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange on Jefferson Public Radio's News and Information Service. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We're talking to David R. Getzinger, who is the AARP District Coordinator for Jackson County. Yes, AARP, we once called the American Association of Retired Persons. They just go by the initials now. The AARP Foundation provides tax help for people generally of low and moderate incomes and for senior citizens. And Jackson County is one of the many places around the country that program is offered. Tax counseling for the elderly, it's called. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange with questions or comments. Maybe you've been through the process. Maybe you've got some issues about tax preparation yourself. Give us a call at 800-838-3760, anywhere you can hear us. Our Rogue Valley local number is 541-552-6782 by email jx@jeffnet.org. We were talking about the kinds of returns that can be prepared by the volunteers through the tax help program. But there are some you'll just say no to. And what are the general sets of circumstances there, the level of complexity that that they're not trained to handle?
Yeah, it's a level of complexity. One of the main returns that we can't do a return that has rental income. It used to be we could do rental income if it didn't have depreciation, but now we can't do it at all. We're not allowed to do it at all. And we can't do returns that have a lot of stock trades. We can do ones that have moderate amount of stock trades, but we don't do people that might be kind of day or week traders, I guess you'd call them. And we can't do complicated business returns. We're not allowed to do business returns that have a loss, and we can't do business returns that have more than $10,000 in expenses. So we just do people that are doing things like child care or in-home care and things like that are the main people who have business. We have a few people that have just done their small business enterprises we do. But
And you mentioned $10,000 as an income limit for the small businesses. Is that a hard and fast rule? I mean, if you make $10,000 and $10 last year, you turned away?
Well, we might do that. You know, we try to be reasonable. But it's $10,000 in expenses, so they can actually have more than $10,000 in income. It's just,
all right.
Just they can't have more than $10,000 in expenses.
All right, understood. Let us take a call. We have Grumpy John and Grants Pass on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about tax preparation with David R. Getzinger at AARP.
Hello. I was wondering if either of you have ever seen the film, probably the worst-named film in history, but Aaron Russo went out and started asking people, please just show me where it is written. Show me the written law that says we have to pay income tax. The name of the film is American Freedom to Fascism, okay? And it's just him talking to IRS agents, and none of them, in fact, some IRS agents had to quit being IRS agents because they could not show him where this was written. America, Freedom to Fascism. You can find it, watch the director's cut, and then tell me why you are helping these people collect income tax.
All right. Thanks for that, Grumpy John. David, I'm sure you have heard that a few times in the past.
Well, not very often. The people that come to us would like to file their taxes. As long as that's the law, whether there's somebody can, you know, somebody, if that's something somebody can challenge, have at it, but as long as it hasn't been any court decisions that says they can't collect income taxes, we're going to help people do what's required, because there's some serious consequences if you don't.
So anybody who's really got a problem with it, as it sounds like Grumpy John does, are generally not going to show up looking for help and preparing the returns.
That's right. If he doesn't want to do his taxes, that's at his peril.
The issue of filing date itself, April 15th, now you can file a request for extension by that deadline, too. Is that anything that's handled by the tax help volunteers, or is that something people just need to do for themselves?
We have the forms to do that. Generally speaking, when you file for an extension, if you're going to owe money, you have to pay the money or there will be a penalty. There's a penalty for not paying on time. If you are due for a refund and you don't file an extension, there's no penalty for that. We get people who, for one reason or another, haven't filed their taxes in 2 or 3 years that come to us with their W-2s, and we can file back year's taxes. We don't try not to do back year's taxes in February when everybody current wants to get their refund, but then as we slow down in March, we'll do back year's taxes up to, I think we're allowed to do up to 3 years of back year's taxes. And these people will get a refund. Maybe they were, not only did they have a little bit of withheld on their work, on their W-2s, but they also get an income credit. And we've had some people get really pretty nice refunds filing. And there's no penalty for that. In fact, some people can they actually pay interest on the back year's taxes, at back year's refunds. So.
They pay interest on it?
The IRS does, yeah.
Oh, okay, really?
Yeah.
Oh, if you had a refund coming and you didn't collect it, they'll pay you interest on it?
Uh-huh.
Isn't that nice to know? That's one of those pleasant surprises that people probably find in the tax preparation process.
Not a large amount of money.
Uh-huh.
But then the next year, of course, then they have to pay taxes on the interest.
What goes around comes around. So when does the actual does the tax counseling program open up for the year? I mean, is it start January 31st or February 1st or when?
February 1st is our opening date every year.
And you go right up until April 15th?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And is February the busiest month? You were indicating that might be the case.
Yes. Yeah. Often the first week or two in February, people will show up. Most of our offices that work in the mornings open at 9 o'clock, and people line up outside of wherever we're doing taxes up to 2 hours before that.
Really?
Yeah.
So they're waiting for you when you arrive.
Yeah, right. Well, we show up, and there's a big long line.
And how dynamic does the response to the crush have to be? I mean, do you redeploy some volunteers who would normally be working at one site and send them to another if there's greater need for them there?
Well, only if we're really short at some site. We try to. We have so many computers at each site, and so we try to have enough volunteers for every computer that we have at that site. There's a few sites that we don't. Aren't quite full of volunteers, but the problem is our volunteers, we'd like them to work, they have to work at least 40 hours a year, which is one shift, to get reimbursed for mileage. Most of them will work two shifts, but you know, they're volunteers and they have other activities, and so it's really hard to, we don't have a reserve that we can move around because there's a big demand.
All right. So 40 hours over a shift a week, a shift a month, or just a shift during the whole period?
Well, that's a one shift a week because it's about a 10-week season from February 1st to April 15th. So they work one four-hour shift. But we have we have some volunteers that work three, four, five four-hour shifts a week. But the minimum in order to get reimbursed, and we try to get, and almost, I don't think we have anybody that doesn't work that way, at least, is to work at least one shift. And we have, I don't know, maybe 10% of our volunteers work only one shift, but all the rest work two or more.
All right. David Arget Singer, I have to ask we've asked about the issues that people most often have, but, I mean, there must be some obvious places for people to get bigger refunds, or at least have to pay less, that a lot of people miss. What are some of those areas?
Well, it used to be a few people missed earned income credit, but, you know, our volunteers are all kept up on that. So people that do their own taxes sometimes will miss collecting their earned income credit. Some people don't think they have to itemize, and so they don't bring the information in. And what happens is that the standard deduction for the federal government is quite high, but the standard deduction for the state return is maybe 40% of that, a lot smaller. And so they have enough, maybe even in just with medical deductions, to exceed the standard for the state, and they miss bringing that in. The other thing that's happened is this year the legislature changed the law on medical deductions. It used to be that if you were 62 or older, you could get 100% of your medical, whereas everyone else was subject to a reduction of 7.5% of their gross income. That gets kind of technical. But anyway, they changed the law so people can get up to $1,800 reduction in their taxable income based on their medical, even if they don't itemize. And so we're having to retrain seniors. These are only seniors, 60, mm-hmm. over 62. We have to retrain these people to bring in their medical information so we can reduce their taxes.
And is that the year in which you turn 62 or the first year where you were 62 the whole year?
It's the year, it was the year in which you turned 62. When they passed this law, they also grandfathered in raising the age limit to 65 one year at a whack. So anybody that's not 62 this year is going to have to wait till they're 65 before they get this break.
Oh, because the age deadline will just keep creeping away from them a year at a time until they get to 65.
That's right.
Wow. So how long does it generally take to do with the preparation of an income tax return?
It takes, it depends, of course. If the person has been to us before, it cuts about a third of the time out because all the input of their address and socials, and even if all their tax forms from last year will pop back up into the computer, and so we don't have to fill out all that stuff on the address and the EIN numbers and stuff of their employers or the people giving them their retirement pay. But generally speaking, as a rule of thumb, it takes about an hour for each return, because what happens is one counselor will do the return in total, and then a second counselor does what's called a quality review, and they review every single number that's been put into that return to make sure it's correct. And both the counselor and the quality reviewer also kind of interview the taxpayer to make sure they haven't left anything out. So sometimes all of a sudden you're all ready to print the return and say, oh, yeah, I forgot about that money I won up at Seven Feathers or something, you know. So
two sets of eyes certainly are going to see every return before it gets sent off through e-file.
That's right.
And I'm sure that there are going to be some questions from people who are considering using the service about the safety and security, because, you know, here they are delivering their information about their income and all that stuff to you. Plus, it's getting put into this computer system that I think you said is based in Atlanta tax-wise. So how robust is this sense of security that people can expect with sensitive information about their own financial dealings?
Yeah, it's real secure. We do not keep any written taxpayer data at any of our sites. And the sites that all work in what's called TaxWise Online are directly connected to a server in Atlanta. So when they go home at night and they turn off their laptops, there's absolutely no tax information in there. And the access to the site in Atlanta is password protected, and the information that goes back and forth is coded so that, you know, it's secure over a secure network. So that's all real secure. And then the one site we have at the mall, which is not done online, we have one computer called a server, a laptop that has all the taxpayer data in it, which then at home we go on, take it home, and we go online and submit it to the TaxWise people in Atlanta to process on through to the IRS. The taxpayer data in that computer then is removed. The computer, we have a program that wipes out any Social Security number and all that stuff in that in that computer that's wiped out at the end of the year. The taxpayer data is put on a jump drive, which is then sent to a caretaker in Salem who puts it under lock and key till the following year when we put it back into the computer, so when the people come in, their information.
Now, if people have come to you for their tax preparation help, can they access their information through TaxWise, or is that something available only through the program?
No, they can't do it. Mm-hmm. We would have to do it for them if they needed it. We give them their tax return, and we try. There's a few occasions where the people have a serious reason why they've lost it, where we can reproduce last year's tax return for them, but that's... We don't do it as a matter of policy because otherwise people just get careless.
Sure. So have you hit your peak yet, do you think, David?
Oh, well, I think so, but it's been pretty steady. Yeah, the first week was our peak, but we're still running pretty heavy.
All right, let me give the numbers again for people who want to know about how to find info about the AARP Tax Help Program. 211 is the info number on any phone, or for more general information, 888-227-7669, and we'll put those on our Facebook page. David R. Getzinger is the AARP District Coordinator for Jackson County. David, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome.
Good to have you.
Thank you.
Monday on the Jefferson Exchange at 8 o'clock, we'll talk about the new stricter immunization law taking effect in Oregon March 1st. We'll talk about how students get around without cars at Oregon universities. And then at 9 o'clock, we'll meet the author of The Depths about the evolutionary roots of depression. That's all Monday on the Jefferson Exchange. Our producer and today's engineer, Charlotte Duran. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Please join us again Monday at 8 for another edition of the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. And have a great weekend.